Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
I'm Alex Barth. I'm one of the geeks at Development Seed, and we've caused a little bit of press this year where we're announcing that we were selling OpenAtrium and managing use two of our Drupal distributions. And we basically did this in the course of, like, you know, refocusing our company Development Seed a little bit more towards building maps, building tools for building maps, and going more and more after data sites. And you may have, you know, like listeners to this podcast may have seen our announcement of the TileMill Mapping Design Studio, which is a pretty interesting tool that is going to allow you to build great looking maps for your website. It can be any website, it's not just Drupal. This is really just about like designing and rendering like tiles, like the map tiles that you're familiar with, like for instance with Google Maps or Yahoo.com maps. So building these kinds of tools, we don't build them with Drupal, right? And the weapon of choice, or our arm of choice at the moment, is Node.js with Express, which is a very light web framework on top of it. And a lot of people ask now, you know, like, so how is this, you know, you guys are like, are you doing like all, doing like Node now? And like, are you not using Drupal for that? And there's a couple of thoughts around that. And for us, using something like Node.js allows us to build with a very light server architecture. So for instance, if you crack open the code for TileMill, you'll find out that all that the server does in TileMill is it serves and accepts JSON, right? And all of the user interface is actually being generated on the client. So that is an architecture that's very different from how Drupal works. Drupal is much, much heavier on the server and expects the client to be actually, you know, the light portion of the user interaction.
So just so people are clear where this is fitting in the stack, with Drupal, there's Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. And with this, you would have like Linux and just Node.js. And Node.js is the server and the framework.
Right. So specifically with TileMill, Node.js provides like the server. And if you compared it like to a LAMP stack, it's a little hard to do this like one-on-one. But like the things that Node does is a little bit on the level of what the Apache server does and a little bit on the level of what PHP does, right? So for instance, PHP dictates a execution model that says like you enter the script, you execute something, and you exit the script, right? That execution model is dictated in the case of Node.js by Node.js itself, which is like an event loop that just started up and it just runs in a loop and then, you know, handles input as it comes in, right? That's for one part. The language that's written in is JavaScript, or the language that you write like Node.js applications with is JavaScript, right? And that is possibly how you could compare that. You know, when we talk about the LAMP stack, we have also like the database in there, you know, with like the MySQL database. You can use MySQL with Node.js, but you can also use other databases, like for instance, CouchDB and Mongo. And this is specifically interesting for us because Node and the JavaScript environment works very nicely with those new non-relational databases like Couch or MongoDB. And that is something that is very interesting for us because we build a lot of data sites for our clients. And this is where I'm like now kind of stepping out of like our like mapping work that I just described. The data work that we do is typically sites that expose a lot of data on volume, like varying volume, like but like from like a couple of thousand records over a couple of 10,000 of records or hundreds of thousands of records to the wider public. And those are typically sites that don't really require anybody to log in or to have like, you know, commenting or complex workflows. Those are very often sites that just merely expose data, and the goal is to expose data as fast as possible, to create interesting aggregates and drill downs, and to create meaningful visualizations, maps, graphs, good tabular views. And for building these kinds of web applications, we are currently experimenting and going forward with an approach where we use Node.js, Express, and CouchDB for building these applications. And it turns out to be very interesting for us. we're kind of relearning a couple of things here that are showing us like really great potential for such a stack. For instance, the fact that you can freely design your schema of your of the data that is going to live in the database is huge, because you can walk and start building an application with a preliminary design schema, and you can change it, not completely easily, but you can change it still like a way into your project. You still have a chance to rethink and change your schema depending on the requirements of your application. So what we're trying to get to here with a Node.js, Express, CouchDB stack is building lighter, faster applications and building them in a way that we, in a more agile way that we could do with like what Drupal Stack does today.
So it sounds like, just talking to Examiner, you know, Karoli is currently looking into creating a database driver for MongoDB for Drupal to be able to run, like, say, for example, entire Drupal site on MongoDB. But they're not even sure if that's going to be possible. So at current state, you have to have sort of a MySQL and a MongoDB hybrid in order to even run Drupal. So it sounds like if you are know that you just need a whole bunch of data that you're going to put into a document object model database, the Node.js as a front end is actually faster than having the overhead of the other, you know, PHP or the Drupal in front of that. Is that accurate? Or
it's very hard to give you, like, you know, such a ballpark rough decision, because again, right, like basically you cannot compare Drupal to Node.js, right? It's like, because as we said before, right, it's like, you know, Node.js is much, much lower level than Drupal is. So it absolutely depends on the job that you would like to get done, right? And make no mistake that if we are using like such light frameworks like Express that I mentioned before, which is a very light web framework for Node.js, if we are using such light frameworks, we wind up also coding a lot of things by foot that we would usually assemble on a web UI in Drupal. So one of like the anecdotal things that happened to us, like in like, you know, going into like more node work, was that we actually had to read up like HTML specs and how to build forms again, right? Because who has built forms in our shop now for a couple of years? We were relying on the form API. We relearn such things now. We go like much deeper into stack. Hence we get like to change a lot more, and hence we get to tune it a lot more to the kinds of sites that we would like to build. We're also actually going to build up, you know, certain like libraries that we can use, reuse easily as we go ahead. But like we are really like in the early stages of this undertaking. So there's a lot of code written, like a lot of like paths going walked down by foot again that we used to use to train for earlier. But we feel there's also a lot of gain to be had for that. The web is changing radically, you know, things like HTML5. Really, or like the new like JavaScript engines that are out there, really change how we are interacting with the web. Being able to have a stack that is light, fast, and gives us a lot of control of the user experience is really important as we do like more application style websites or web tools like Tilemill, and as we do like more data visualization heavy projects like our data sites.
And so if you were to sort of compare, like build a similar site in Node.js and in Drupal, what, and you say it's lighter and faster, what type of metrics would you look at where Node.js is able to do what faster? More continuous connections, or it would just load faster, or it would take less man hours to develop? Or what kind of the metrics, if you were to build a similar site in Node.js and in Drupal, what kind of metrics would tell you how they're different?
I mean, in regards to metrics, you would be looking at, like, you know, the classic metrics, you know, of building fast websites, you know, like how fast does my site load? How many concurrent requests can I throw at it? You know, and as everybody knows, like those things depend not just like on the technology or like on the stack that you use, but it also depends on like the iron that you run on. Like how does my server look like? You know, like what is the overall configuration of that? You can make a lot of things very fast, right? You can make a lot of things very slow. You can build very slow sites in Node.js. You can build very slow sites in Drupal, right? But I guess what we're seeing as an opportunity is that we have a stack at hand that allows us to control the way we query data and the way we put it out in a way that enables views on the data that are reasonably cheap, like computationally cheap to create, we have run into like severe problems in making certain data visualizations work with the Drupal stack, right? Because you start at a certain level, you start to fight the assumptions of Drupal, which is like a content management system, and you're starting to pour like, you know, tens of thousands of records of data into it, and you're writing like special views handlers that pull them out the right way so that you can create the kinds of graphs or the kinds of maps that your use case requires. Now, with, you know, specifically with CouchDB, we're working a lot with CouchDB here. With CouchDB, with its abilities to write like MapReduce functionality, is really good in like pulling out and aggregating data. With the fact that it's like a schemaless database, really gives us like the flexibility that we are looking for you know, meeting those needs in terms of like what's possible to do in a clean way for querying data in a fast way, right? Like, so we have the performance that we're looking for here.
So with all equal hardware, it basically loads faster and is quicker to develop.
Depends on what you do. Really depends on what you do, absolutely. But for the use case that we are looking at, and that is again like data sites, exposing data on the web, like financial data or, you know, human indicators or demographics data, like these sorts of sites really benefit from like a very flexible stack such as Node plus CouchDB. And really we're walking our first steps here. There's like a lot to come here. There's a lot that is possible here. A lot of the things are just charted out at the moment as we speak by not just us, but other people who are working in this field. And I think those are very exciting times, but I see like a lot of potential there for the stack.
And so what is Express, and how does that sort of fit into like the Node.js?
Well, Express is really very, I can throw you a couple of examples what it does and a couple of examples what it does not do, right? So Express gives you a way to write what we would call in Drupal page callback. It gives you a way to respond to get, post, put, delete requests against your server. It has some session handling in there. It does not have a user management, right? It does not have something that would amount to a form API, and I'm just going to continue to speak in Drupal speak here, right? It does not have like a notion of like a node or a document module in there that would kind of manage your content. There's no such thing as a comment module. So there's a lot of things that are not in there, right? There is a way to render content, which has like a swappable theming engine, and we kind of, this kind of rings familiar to Drupal people, right? So there is a very, very basic web framework which gives you like the most necessary tools to start building a website.
Okay, and if a request comes into Node.js, does it send back JSON, or what sort of happens?
So Node.js is so low level. Like what you can do with Node.js is like you can start up a server, you can start quote unquote listening for incoming requests, and then the request comes in and it's going to be the raw request, right? It's going to be completely raw. At this point, you're going to get like, oh, it's been like a post request, and here's the URL that's been posted against, and here is like the message body that has been posted, and okay, now do something, right? So there's no such a thing as like page routing or like something that decodes cookies for you or something that, you know, does all like the sweet stuff that we're looking for when we're looking and evaluating, you know, web frameworks. So people are not just building web frameworks with Node.js, they're building chat servers with it, right? Why would you bother about like a theming stack and a chat server? It's not necessary, right? So Node.js is like a very low level, relatively low level, especially like from, you know, the Drupal perspective, a very low level platform for building things that run on the network.
Cool. And is there anything else that like Node.js can do that the other LAMP stack paradigm just can't do? So like new things or use cases that people are using Node.js for different types of site? Or is it mostly just for data-driven sites, or what other type of stuff are people using it for?
So what is outstanding with Node.js is its ability to handle streaming content. The fact that it's so low level really allows you to interact with incoming requests at the moment that they start. So imagine somebody makes a post request against your site. You don't need to wait that this post request actually comes completely to your server and is parsed, and then you actually get to work with it in your web framework. You can start working with the post request that is coming in from the first byte that is coming in. So this allows you to do like really interesting stuff when it comes to streaming, right? And just as an example comes to my mind, Felix Geisendörfer, who is one of like the Node contributors, he is running a startup in Germany that is doing hosted file upload and processing, right? This is something that Node is great for. It's also something that you don't need to have like a full web framework on top of it to make something meaningful with it.
So you're kind of parsing the file live in real time as it's coming in, so you don't have to wait till it's completed to be able to execute.
Right. And that's great if you're doing like audio stuff, video stuff, stuff with the large files, right? Also for us, for instance, for doing like data stuff, it means that we can write like really nice parsers that, for instance, start to consume a CSV file and just start like working on a CSV file the moment that the first rows come in, right? Something that is possible in Drupal. You can do this in Drupal, but PHP is just not as nice for doing work like that. And Node.js, together with the language that you use with it, and JavaScript, is really conducive to like writing like event-oriented streaming software. And that is very fascinating. We're just starting to tap into the potential of that. But what it ultimately means is that you can build a very fast website.
And so it sounds like, you know, you guys were kind of butting up against Drupal in different ways and your specific use cases that you wanted to do with these different data-driven applications. And so, you know, some people were sort of speculating, is this, you know, you leaving Drupal altogether? Or maybe you just sort of talk about in hindsight, like, you know, where Drupal was really breaking down for you.
I'd say it's like, it has a lot to do with the kind of work that we're doing, and this really shifted, like, you know, shifting our focus towards doing like more mapping tools like TileMill and TileLive, and doing more of the kinds of data sites that we've been doing lately, and wanting to do more of them, really is where like our, you know, looking for new tools is coming from. So it's not that, you know, development scene has been building like the same sites now for like, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years. And all of a sudden, Drupal stopped working for them, you know? It's more like, you know, we're changing, we're going ahead here with, we're trying to focus more on, like, as I said, the data sites, the map sites that we want to build, the mapping tools we want to build, and we're looking for the perfect tools for it. At the same time, what's going on right now with this little revolution with server-side JavaScript and schema-less databases is something that is extremely exciting and that we want to be in on the ground floor. We really is looking forward to like very exciting things happening here, and you know, like the next year, 2 years is going to be awesome.
And does Node.js in particular help with iPad-driven mobile applications or not?
No. You're alluding to the fact that we're doing iPad work now. So all of our iPad work is iOS development. There is, I don't even know whether you can run Node somehow on an iPad or an iPhone. Maybe you can, I don't know. So no, but like it has nothing to do with that. We're using, and probably it's Justin Miller is like the right guy to talk to here. We're using iOS, Cocoa, et cetera, for showing what our maps can do on handheld devices, which is pretty interesting. Like, you know, with TileMill, you can create like a good looking map. You can render the map out. You can actually add interaction to this map. And you can export this into an open file format called NDTiles, and you can load this onto your iPad, and there you go. You have like a great looking map with really like detailed zoom levels, just like you're used to from like a good map experience on your iPad.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.